Welcome to Tungsten, Bulletproof Hacks for the Moth-Eaten. I'm Christine Bruce. Consider me your grandmotherly accomplice for the next half hour. Tungsten broadcasts at the saddest hour on Wet'suwet'en territory through CICK 93.9 FM in Smithers, BC. Recently, I joined a call where one of my grandchildren chose a couple of books for her mother to read. They were children's books, written in French and German. I shouldn't have been surprised because my daughter studied multiple languages in university. The thing is, the kids lapped up the stories, despite not being able to understand the languages. That made me wonder what would happen if we listened to a few stories together here in another language. One of Llewellyn's choices was Der Struwwelpeter by Heinrich Hoffmann. So that's what we'll be hearing. I'll also include an English translation, so it's not all babble. Let's go get into some language mischief together. Struwwelpeter, or Slovenly Peter, is an illustrated collection of humorous children's poems by Heinrich Hoffmann, a Frankfurt physician. Hoffmann originally wanted a picture book for his son for Christmas in 1844. Not impressed by what the stores had to offer, he bought a notebook and wrote his own stories and pictures. These stories are notorious for their ludicrous and usually violent punishments for naughty behavior, which used to be much more accepted in society than it is today. Struwwelpeter has been influential on later children's books, like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. I'm going to include 8 stories from the collection here, each one followed by an English translation, read by Catherine Eastman. Violence has always been a regular element of children's fiction, used as a didactic component of storytelling. Recently, it's been toned down or completely removed from the earliest versions of some classic fairy tales, particularly the Grimm brothers. Opponents worry that including violence can inspire children to commit similar acts in real life. A common concern is that children may fail to differentiate fantasy from reality or believe this type of conduct is acceptable or even recommended. On the other hand, proponents for including aggression argue that children are capable of distinguishing fiction from real life. So, if children engage in aggressive behavior, it's likely, they suggest, a result of other factors like genetics, upbringing, living conditions, and surrounding relationships. I know in our home, guns were not permissible toys, yet my son regularly broke sticks into the correct shape and play shot everything in sight. I don't know how I feel about it. I did remove one of the Struwwelpeter stories, but that one didn't make the cut because it bore racist overtones. And maybe one warning, if you have a young thumbsucker at home, like I was, maybe don't let them listen.
Wenn die Kinder artig sind, kommt zu ihnen das Christkind. Wenn sie ihre Suppe essen und das Brot auch nicht vergessen, wenn sie, ohne Lärm zu machen, still sind bei den 7 Sachen, beim Spaziergehen auf den Gassen von Mama sich führen lassen, bringt es ihnen Guts genug und ein schönes Bilderbuch.
When the children have been good, that is, be it understood, good at meal times, good at play, good all night and good all day, they shall have the pretty things Merry Christmas always brings. Naughty, romping girls and boys tear their clothes and make a noise, spoil their pinafores and frocks, and deserve no Christmas box. Such as these shall never look at this pretty picture book.
Sieh einmal, hier steht er. Pfui, der Struwwelpeter. An den Händen beiden ließ er sich nicht schneiden. Seine Nägel fast ein Jahr. Kämmen ließ er nicht sein Haar. Pfui, ruft da ein jeder. Garstiger Struwwelpeter.
Shock-headed Peter. Just look at him. There he stands with his nasty hair and hands. See, his nails are never cut. They are grimed as black as soot. And the sloven, I declare, never once has combed his hair. Anything to me is sweeter than to see shock-headed Peter.
Die Geschichte vom bösen Friedrich. Der Friedrich der Friederich, das war ein arger Wüterich. Er fing die Fliegen in dem Haus und riss ihnen die Flügel aus. Er schlug die Stühl und Vögel tot, die Katzen litten große Not. Und höre nur, wie bös er war, er peitschte seine Gretchen gar. Am Brunnen stand ein großer Hund, trank Wasser dort mit seinem Mund. Da mit der Peitsch herzu sich schlich der bitterböse Friederich und schlug den Hund, der heulte sehr und trat und schlug ihn immer mehr. Da biss der Hund ihn in das Bein, recht tief bis in das Blut hinein. Der bitterböse Friederich, der schrie und weinte bitterlich. Jedoch nach Hause lief der Hund und trug die Peitsche in dem Mund. Ins Bett muß Friedrich nun hinein, litt vielen Schmerz an seinem Bein. Und der Herr Doktor sitzt dabei und gibt ihm bittre Arznei. Der Hund an Friedrichs Tischchen saß, wo er den großen Kuchen aß, aß auch die gute Leberwurst und trank den Wein für seinen Durst. Die Peitsche hat er mitgebracht und nimmt sie sorglich sehr in Acht.
Cruel Frederick! Here is cruel Frederick, see! A horrid, wicked boy was he. He caught the flies, poor little things, and then tore off their tiny wings. He killed the birds, and broke the chairs, and threw the kitten down the stairs. And, oh, far worse than all beside, he whipped his Mary till she cried. The trough was full, and faithful Tray came out to drink one sultry day. He wagged his tail and wet his lip, when cruel Fred snatched up a whip and whipped poor Tray till he was sore, and kicked and whipped him more and more. At this good Tray grew very red, and growled and bit him till he bled. Then you should only have been by to see how Fred did scream and cry. So Frederick had to go to bed. His leg was very sore and red. The doctor came and shook his head and made a very great to-do and gave him nasty physic, too. But good dog Tray is happy now. He has no time to say bow-wow. He seats himself in Frederick's chair and laughs to see the nice things there. The soup he swallows sup by sup, and eats the pies and puddings up.
Die gar traurige Geschichte mit dem Feuerzeug. Paulinchen war allein zu Haus, die Eltern waren beide aus. Als sie nun durch das Zimmer sprang, mit leichtem Mut und Sing und Sang, da sah sie plötzlich vor sich stehen, ein Feuerzeug, nett anzusehen. »Ei«, sprach sie, »ei, wie schön und fein! Das muß ein trefflich Spielzeug sein. Ich zünde mir ein Hölzchen an, wie's oft die Mutter hat getan.« Und Miens und Mauns die Katzen erheben ihre Tatzen. Sie drohen mit den Pfoten,
»Der Vater hat's verboten! Miau, 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 miau! Lass stehen, sonst brennst du lichterloh!«
Paulinchen hört die Katzen nicht. Das Hölzchen brennt gar hell und licht, das flackert lustig, knistert laut, grad wie ihr's auf dem Bilde schaut. Paulinchen aber freut sich sehr und sprang im Zimmer hin und her. Und Miens und Mauns die Katzen erheben ihre Tatzen, sie drohen mit den Pfoten,
»Die Mutter hat's verboten, miau, 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 wirst weg, sonst brennst du lichterloh.«
»Doch weh! Die Flamme fasst das Kleid, die Schürze brennt, es leuchtet weit, es brennt die Hand, es brennt das Haar, es brennt das ganze Kind sogar. Und Miens und Mauns, die schreien, gar jämmerlich zu zweien,
»Herbei, herbei, wer hilft geschwind, im Feuer steht das ganze Kind, miau, 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 zu Hilf, das Kind brennt lichterloh.«
Verbrannt ist alles ganz und gar, das arme Kind mit Haut und Haar. Ein Häuflein Asche blieb allein und beide Schuh so hübsch und fein. Und Miens und Mauns, die Kleinen, die sitzen da und weinen.
Miau, Mio, Miau, Mio, wo sind die armen Eltern, wo?
Und ihre Tränen fließen wie's Bächlein auf den Wiesen.
The Dreadful Story of Harriet and the Matches. It almost makes me cry to tell what foolish Harriet befell. Mama and nurse went out one day and left her all alone at play. Now, on the table, close at hand, a box of matches chanced to stand. And kind Mama and nurse had told her that if she touched them, they would scold her. But Harriet said, "Oh, what a pity! For when they burn, it is so pretty! They crackle so, and spit, and flame. Mama, too, often does the same." The pussycats heard this, and they began to hiss, and stretch their claws, and raise their paws. "Meow!" they said. "Meow! Meow! You'll burn to death if you do so." But Harriet would not take advice. She lit a match. It was so nice. It crackled so. It burned so clear, exactly like the picture here. She jumped for joy and ran about and was too pleased to put it out. The pussycats saw this and said, "Oh, naughty, naughty miss!" and stretched their claws and raised their paws. "'Tis very, very wrong, you know. Meow, 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 meow. You will be burnt if you do so." And see, oh, what a dreadful thing. The fire has caught her apron string. Her apron burns, her arms, her hair. She burns all over, everywhere. Then how the pussycats did mew. What else, poor pussies, could they do? They screamed for help. 'Twas all in vain. So then they said, "We'll scream again. Make haste, make haste. Meow, meow. She'll burn to death. We told her so." So she was burnt, with all her clothes, and arms, and hands, and eyes, and nose, till she had nothing more to lose, except her little scarlet shoes. And nothing else but these was found, among her ashes on the ground. And when the good cats sat beside the smoking ashes, how they cried! "Meow, meow, meow, meow. What will Mama and Nursie do?" Their tears ran down their cheeks so fast, they made a little pond at last.
Die Geschichte vom wilden Jäger. Es zog der wilde Jägersmann sein grasgrün neues Röcklein an, nahm Ranzen, Pulverhorn und Flint und lief hinaus ins Feld geschwind. Er trug die Brille auf der Nas und wollte schießen tot den Has. Das Häschen sitzt im Blätterhaus und lacht den blinden Jäger aus. Jetzt schien die Sonne gar zu sehr, da ward ihm sein Gewehr zu schwer. Er legte sich ins grüne Gras, das alles sah der kleine Has. Und als der Jäger schnarcht und schlief, der Has ganz heimlich zu ihm lief und nahm die Flint und auch die Brill und schlich davon ganz leis und still. Die Brille hat das Häschen jetzt sich selbst auf seine Nas gesetzt und schießen will's aus dem Gewehr. Der Jäger aber fürcht sich sehr. Er läuft davon und springt und schreit: "Zu Hilf, ihr Leut! Zu Hilf, ihr Leut!" Da kommt der wilde Jägersmann zuletzt beim tiefen Brünnchen an. Er springt hinein, die Not war groß, es schießt der Has die Flinte los. Des Jägers Frau am Fenster saß und trank aus ihrer Kaffeetass. Die schoss das Häschen ganz entzwei, Da rief die Frau, »O wei, o wei!« Doch beim Brünnchen heimlich saß des Häschens Kind, der kleine Has. Der hockte da im grünen Gras. Dem floss der Kaffee auf die Nas. Er schrie, »Wer hat mich da verbrannt?« und hielt den Löffel in der Hand.
The Story of the Man That Went Out Shooting. This is the man that shoots the hares. This is the coat he always wears. With game bag, powder horn, and gun, he's going out to have some fun. He finds it hard, without a pair of spectacles, to shoot the hare. The hare sits snug in leaves and grass, and laughs to see the green man pass. Now, as the sun grew very hot, and he a heavy gun had got, he lay down underneath a tree, and went to sleep, as you may see. And, while he slept like any top, the little hare came, hop, 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 took gun and spectacles, and then on her hind legs went off again. The green man wakes, and sees her place the spectacles upon her face, and now she's trying all she can to shoot the sleepy green coat man. He cries and screams and runs away. The hare runs after him all day, and hears him call out everywhere, "Help! Fire! Help! The hare! The hare!" At last he stumbled at the well, head over ears, and in he fell. The hare stopped short, took aim, and hark! Bang! Went the gun. She missed her mark. The poor man's wife was drinking up her coffee in her coffee cup. The gun shot cup and saucer through. "Oh, dear!" cried she. "What shall I do?" There lived close by the cottage there the hare's own child, the little hare. And while she stood upon her toes, the coffee fell and burned her nose. "Oh, dear!" she cried, with spoon in hand. "Such fun I do not understand!"
Mountain Eagle Books is an excellent place to idle away an afternoon over new and used books, a good cup of coffee or chai, and a decent collection of CDs. You can also get tickets to a good many current events in town. Mountain Eagle Books is located on 3rd Avenue, across from the post office. And here at CICK, we really appreciate their sponsorship.
Die Geschichte vom Daumenlutscher. Konrad, sprach die Frau Mama, ich geh aus und du bleibst da. Sei hübsch, ordentlich und fromm, bis nach Haus ich wiederkomm. Und vor allem, Konrad, hör, lutsche nicht am Daumen mehr. Denn der Schneider mit der Scher kommt sonst ganz geschwind daher, und die Daumen schneidet er ab, als ob Papier es wär. Fort geht nun die Mutter und, wupp, den Daumen in den Mund. Bautz, da geht die Türe auf, und herein in schnellem Lauf springt der Schneider in die Stub zu dem Daumenlutscherbub. Weh, jetzt geht es klipp und klapp, mit der Scher die Daumen ab, mit der großen scharfen Scher, hei, da schreit der Konrad sehr. Als die Mutter kommt nach Haus, sieht der Konrad traurig aus. Ohne Daumen steht er dort, die sind alle beide fort.
The Story of Little Suck-a-Thumb. One day, Mama said, "Conrad, dear, I must go out and leave you here. But mind now, Conrad, what I say. Don't suck your thumb while I'm away. The great tall tailor always comes to little boys who suck their thumbs, and ere they dream what he's about, he takes his great sharp scissors out, and cuts their thumbs clean off, and then, you know, they never grow again." Mama had scarcely turned her back. The thumb was in. Alack, alack! The door flew open. In he ran, the great, long, red-legged scissor man. Oh, children, see, the tailor's come, and caught out little suck-a-thumb. Snip, snap, snip, the scissors go. And Conrad cries out, oh, oh, oh! Snip, snap, snip, they go so fast that both his thumbs are off at last. Mama comes home. There Conrad stands and looks quite sad and shows his hands. Ah, said Mama, I knew he'd come to naughty little suck-a-thumb.
Die Geschichte vom Suppenkasper. Der Kasper, der war kerngesund, ein dicker Bub und kugelrund, er hatte Backen rot und frisch, die Suppe aß er hübsch bei Tisch. Doch einmal fing er an zu schreien.
Ich esse keine Suppe, nein, ich esse meine Suppe nicht, nein, meine Suppe esse ich nicht.
Am nächsten Tag, ja, sieh nur her, da war er schon viel magerer. Da fing er wieder an zu schreien.
Ich esse keine Suppe, nein, ich esse meine Suppe nicht, nein, meine Suppe esse ich nicht.
Am dritten Tag, oh weh und ach, wie ist der Kasper dünn und schwach. Doch als die Suppe kam herein, gleich fing er wieder an zu schreien.
Ich esse keine Suppe, nein, ich esse meine Suppe nicht, nein, meine Suppe esse ich nicht.
Am vierten Tage endlich gar der Kasper wie ein Fädchen war. Er wog vielleicht ein halbes Lot und war am fünften Tage tot.
The story of Augustus, who would not have any soup. Augustus was a chubby lad, fat, ruddy cheeks Augustus had, and everybody saw with joy the plump and hearty, healthy boy. He ate and drank as he was told, and never let his soup get cold. But one day, one cold winter's day, he screamed out, "Take the soup away! Oh, take the nasty soup away! I won't have any soup today!" Next day, now look, the picture shows how lank and lean Augustus grows. Yet, though he feels so weak and ill, the naughty fellow cries out still, "Not any soup for me, I say. Oh, take the nasty soup away. I won't have any soup today." The third day comes. Oh, what a sin, to make himself so pale and thin. Yet, when the soup is put on table, he screams as loud as he is able, "Not any soup for me, I say. Oh, take the nasty soup away. I won't have any soup today." Look at him, now the fourth day's come. He scarcely weighs a sugar plum. He's like a little bit of thread. And on the fifth day, he was dead.
Die Geschichte vom Zappelphilipp. Ob der Philipp heute still wohl bei Tische sitzen will? Also sprach in ernstem Ton der Papa zu seinem Sohn. Und die Mutter blickte stumm auf dem ganzen Tisch herum. Doch der Philipp hörte nicht, was zu ihm der Vater spricht. Er gaukelt und schaukelt, er trappelt und zappelt, auf dem Stuhle hin und her. Philipp, das missfällt mir sehr. Seht, ihr lieben Kinder, seht, wie's dem Philipp weitergeht. Oben steht es auf dem Bild, seht, er schaukelt gar zu wild, bis der Stuhl nach hinten fällt. Da ist nichts mehr, was ihn hält. Nach dem Tischtuch greift er, schreit. Doch was hilft's? Zu gleicher Zeit fallen Teller, Flasche und Brot, Vater ist in großer Not, und die Mutter blicket stumm auf dem ganzen Tisch herum. Nun ist Philipp ganz versteckt, und der Tisch ist abgedeckt. Was der Vater essen wollt, unten auf der Erde rollt. Suppe, Brot und alle Bissen, alles ist herabgerissen. Suppenschüssel ist entzwei, und die Eltern stehen dabei. Beide sind gar zornig mehr, haben nichts zu essen mehr.
The story of Fidgety Philip. Let me see if Philip can be a little gentleman. Let me see if he is able to sit still for once at table. Thus Papa bade Phil behave, and Mama looked very grave. But fidgety Phil, he won't sit still. He wriggles and giggles, and then, I declare, swings backwards and forwards and tilts up his chair just like any rocking horse. Philip, I am getting cross. See the naughty, restless child growing still more rude and wild, till his chair falls over quite. Philip screams with all his might, catches at the cloth, but then that makes matters worse again. Down upon the ground they fall, glasses, plates, knives, forks, and all. How Mama did fret and frown when she saw them tumbling down, and Papa made such a face. Philip is in sad disgrace. Where is Philip? Where is he? Fairly covered up, you see. Cloth and all are lying on him. He has pulled down all upon him. What a terrible to-do! Dishes, glasses, snapped in two. Here a knife and there a fork. Philip. Table all so bare. And, poor Papa and poor Mama look quite cross, and wonder how they shall have their dinner now.
Die Geschichte vom Hans Guck in die Luft. Wenn der Hans zur Schule ging, steht sein Blick am Himmel hing. Nach den Dächern, Wolken, Schwalben, schaut er aufwärts allenthalben, vor die eigenen Füße dicht. Ja, da sah der Bursche nicht. Also, dass ein jeder ruft, seht den Hans Guck in die Luft. Kam ein Hund dahergerannt, Hänslein blickte unverwandt, in die Luft, niemand ruft, Hans, gib acht, der Hund ist nah. Was geschah? Pauz, padauz, da fliegen zwei, Hund und Hänschen nebenbei. Einst ging er an Ufers Rand, mit der Mappe in der Hand. Nach dem blauen Himmel hoch sah er, wo die Schwalbe flog. Also, dass er kerzengrad immer mehr zum Flusse trat. Und die Fischlein in der Reih sind erstaunt sehr, alle drei. Noch ein Schritt und plumps, der Hans stürzt hinab, kopfüber ganz. Die drei Fischlein, sehr erschreckt, haben sich sogleich versteckt. Doch zum Glück, da kommen zwei Männer aus der Nähe herbei, und sie haben ihn mit Stangen aus dem Wasser aufgefangen. Seht, nun steht er triefend nass. Ei, das ist ein schlechter Spaß. Wasser läuft dem armen Wicht aus den Haaren ins Gesicht, aus den Kleidern von den Armen, und es friert ihn zum Erbarmen. Doch die Fischlein alle drei schwimmen hurtig gleich herbei, strecken's Köpflein aus der Flut, lachen, dass man's hören tut. Lachen fort noch lange Zeit, und die Mappe schwimmt schon weit.
The Story of Johnny Head in Air. As he trudged along to school, it was always Johnny's rule to be looking at the sky and the clouds that floated by. But what just before him lay in his way, Johnny never thought about, so that everyone cried out, "Look at little Johnny there, little Johnny Head in air!" Running just in Johnny's way came a little dog one day. Johnny's eyes were still astray, up on high, in the sky, and he never heard them cry, "Johnny, mind, the dog is nigh!" Bump, dump, down they fell, with such a thump, dog and Johnny in a lump. Once, with head as high as ever, Johnny walked beside the river. Johnny watched the swallows trying which was cleverest at flying. Oh, what fun! Johnny watched the bright round sun, going in and coming out. This was all he thought about. So he strode on, only think, to the river's very brink, where the bank was high and steep, and the water very deep. And the fishes in a row stared to see him coming so. One step more, oh, sad to tell, headlong in poor Johnny fell, and the fishes, in dismay, wagged their tails and swam away. There lay Johnny on his face with his nice red writing-case. But as they were passing by, two strong men had heard him cry, and with sticks these two strong men hooked poor Johnny out again. Oh, you should have seen him shiver when they pulled him from the river. He was in a sorry plight, dripping wet and such a fright. Wet all over, everywhere, clothes and arms and face and hair. Johnny never will forget what it is to be so wet. And the fishes, 1, 2, 3, are come back again, you see. Up they came the moment after to enjoy the fun and laughter. Each popped out his little head, and to tease poor Johnny said, "Silly little Johnny, look, you have lost your writing book."
Die Geschichte vom fliegenden Robert. Wenn der Regen niederbraust, wenn der Sturm das Feld durchsaust, bleiben Mädchen oder Buben hübsch daheim in ihren Stuben. Robert aber dachte, nein, das muss draußen herrlich sein, und im Felde patschet er mit dem Regenschirm umher. Hui, wie pfeift der Sturm und keucht, dass der Baum sich niederbeugt. Seht, den Schirm erfasst der Wind, und der Robert fliegt geschwind durch die Luft so hoch und weit. Niemand hört ihn, wenn er schreit. An die Wolken stößt er schon, und der Hut fliegt auch davon. Schirm und Robert fliegen dort, durch die Wolken immerfort, und der Hut fliegt weit voran, stößt zuletzt am Himmel an. Wo der Wind sie hingetragen, ja, das weiß kein Mensch zu sagen.
The Story of Flying Robert. When the rain comes tumbling down in the country or the town, all good little girls and boys stay at home and mind their toys. Robert thought, "No, when it pours, it is better out of doors." Rain it did, and in a minute Bob was in it. Here you see him, silly fellow, underneath his red umbrella. What a wind! Oh, how it whistles through the trees and flowers and thistles! It has caught his red umbrella. Now look at him, silly fellow! Up he flies to the skies. No one heard his screams and cries. Through the clouds the rude wind bore him, and his hat flew on before him. Soon they got to such a height they were nearly out of sight. And the hat went up so high that it nearly touched the sky. No one ever yet could tell where they stopped or where they fell. Only this one thing is plain. Bob was never seen again.
You've been listening to Tungsten, Bulletproof Hacks for the Moth-Eaten. Tungsten is produced by Christine Bruce, aired through CICK 93.9 FM in Smithers, BC. Available anytime at smithersradio.com or anywhere you get your podcasts. Let's do it again soon. In case you need a little fix this week, read a book out loud or find someone who's willing to read to you. It's very soothing, regardless of the language in which the book is written.